Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, if you have your Bible on you today, I want you to open your Bible up to the book of Galatians. We're going to go to the book of Galatians. You could go ahead and open it up to Galatians chapter 3. We'll go to chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in a moment in verse 9. But I want to go ahead and entitle this message. I want to entitle it, Cursed or Blessed? Cursed or Blessed? Everybody say that out loud with me. Somebody say, Cursed or Blessed? And I really believe what I'm preaching today, if you'll get a hold of the content, you'll get a hold of what Paul wrote in the book of Galatians. Today, there's a power in this message to change the course of your life, to change the course of your family's life, to change your children's life and your grandchildren's life. And I just believe some people who've come in here one way today are going to walk out of here another way with a brand new type of thinking. God's going to do something in our life. And I've been trying to get everybody ready to receive this message today because I think it's a game changer. You know, I believe anytime we open the Word of God, the game can get changed, but I just sense in my spirit that there's some stuff in this message that's really going to change somebody's life. And when I talk about whether you're cursed or blessed, I want you to understand that biblically there really is such a thing as a curse. Everybody say the curse. All right, well, if you talk about the curse, when you start talking about things that are supernatural, a lot of times in the educated world and the developed world, people turn you off when you start talking about the supernatural. Because we say, well, we're kind of past that. We're a culture that already knows better than those things. That's kind of just superstitious stuff. Surely there's no such thing as a curse. And, you know, Hollywood and the devil has done its job to try to make you think those things are just movie stuff. You know, Hollywood will talk about like the curse of Oak Island or the curse of the mummy. How many of y'all remember Stephen King's movie Thinner? Does anybody remember that movie Thinner? This shaman walks by and says Thinner to this guy, curses this guy, and he starts losing weight till it takes his life. And Hollywood kind of makes those curses look so supernatural that they're not real. And really, it's a play from the devil. You know, I married a girl from West Texas, and I've spent a lot of time out in Amarillo. As a matter of fact, River City Church is merging with the church from Amarillo, Texas. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for him. Our church is doubled, like going to double. Let's really give God a hand clap. We're going to double our influence in a minute. And we're going to join our forces to be a church planting organization. And the goal is to plant 100 campuses. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. We're going to change and touch America. But West Texas, I've lived there for a while, and you're talking about cruel, pretty harsh ground. Our ground looks really nice in Kentucky compared to West Texas. And so the wind always blows in West Texas. In the summer, it's super hot. In the winter, the climate gets as cold as it does here because it's very far up north in Texas. And I'll tell you what, I forgot who it was. Somebody went out there with the church staff. And they took off their shoes. How many know in Kentucky you take off your shoes? I'll tell you, it was Mandy Jackson. You take off your shoes and you can just walk out into the yard here, right? No big deal. Well, you take off your shoes and you walk out in the yard in West Texas. There's cactus and little stickers and thorns everywhere. So Mandy walks out barefoot. Next thing they know, she's on all four on the sidewalk going, oh my God, something's biting me. And they spent the afternoon picking stickers out of her feet because it's harsh ground. They also have something in West Texas called rattlesnakes. And rattlesnakes like to let you know where they are, right? You get close to them, a snake doesn't want to fight with you anymore than you want to fight with a snake. So what that snake starts to do is that snake will start to shake its rattle to let you know, hey, don't tread on me, I'm right here, I'll bite. But something else has been introduced into the atmosphere in West Texas, and that's wild pigs, wild hogs. They become a nuisance. They breed very fast. They get into trash. They can get aggressive. They tear stuff up. You know, a pig ruts up everywhere it goes. And so one of the fun things about living in West Texas is killing hogs. But what these hogs will do is the hogs, when the snakes rattle, the hogs listen. They've learned to do this. When those snakes rattle, the hogs listen. And those hogs will attack those rattlesnakes and eat them. And so the snake is smart enough to adjust to its culture. So guess what the snakes have quit doing in West Texas? They quit rattling. And I'm telling you, just because the snake's not rattling anymore doesn't mean the snake's not there. The rattlesnake has gone nowhere. It just learned to adjust the game. The devil's done the same thing in America. It's not that the devil's not here anymore. It's that the devil knows not to rattle, and people will think he's not there. They'll think he's not alive. They'll think he's not active. But how many of you know we still have an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy? And I'm telling you, there's such a thing as a curse, and there's such a thing as blessing. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for the blessing instead of the curse. Come on, let's really give him a hand clap this morning. Y'all want to... Can we worship him for one moment this morning? Come on, somebody ought to shout to the King of Kings for the blessing. We thank you. I'm thankful for the blessing. But there is a curse. How many of y'all have ever seen a family? Like I've noticed it as a pastor. You'll see some people and they're just a blessed couple. How many of y'all seen some blessed people? Huh? Like check out the Hamiltons over here. How many of y'all think they're blessed? I mean, they're like 6'5", both of them. Very little body fat. Their children already look like they're going to be college athletes. Look at them genetically versus me genetically. You can tell that the blessing is on their life. And the blessing, it shows up in many different ways on people's lives. It's favor. Sometimes it's financial success, leadership, health, wealth. All the things you think about, that those really are symbols of the blessing of God. So some families, I look at them, it's like, yeah, that family's blessed. How many of y'all have seen some families, though? You look at what's going on in their family, and it breaks your heart, but you can see the curse. How many of y'all have ever seen a family that operates under a curse? Man, as a pastor, I've watched it again and again. It's like the family's cursed with addiction, family's cursed with marital infidelity, family's cursed with poverty. Families curse with low EQ, not knowing how to get along with others. And because of that curse that's on their life, wherever they go or what they do, it just doesn't produce. Listen, there's such a thing as a blessing. There is such a thing as a curse. And I want you to understand that. The faster that we understand that as a people, we can move from cursed thinking to blessed thinking. If you think like a cursed person, you will live like a cursed person. You begin to think like a blessed person, you'll begin to live like a blessed person, and the blessing of God will begin to hunt you down. I want you to look where Paul writes about the blessing and the curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. If you're there, go ahead and say, this morning. Here's what it says. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. How many of you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, Savior of the world, died for your sins? Let me see your hands out there. You believe that? You know what the Bible says? Now then, those that are of faith, they're blessed with believing Abraham. You ought to say this out loud. Somebody ought to say, I'm blessed. Come on, say it again, I'm blessed. One more time, I'm blessed. So then those that are faith, they're blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Starts talking about a curse now. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here's what Paul says at first. First, he says, those that are of faith, they're blessed with believing Abraham. He goes on the next verse, he says, now those that are still under the works of the law, the curse is on their life. So the person that's in Christ has a blessing on their life. Those who live by faith that Jesus died for their sins, they don't believe that they can be good enough to save themselves. How many of y'all believe that we needed a Savior? Come on, somebody. We needed a Savior. So the people that believe that are blessed. The people that are under the works of the law, the Bible says, they're cursed. Now let me explain to you what the works of the law are. What the works of the law, what that means, it's talking about the first five books of the Bible. God gave a law to Moses to give to the Jewish people. How many of y'all know the Ten Commandments? I'm thankful for the Ten Commandments. That's a part of the law. How many of y'all think the Ten Commandments would do a lot of good if they were applied in every area of American life? Somebody say amen to that. They're great principles. But there are more tough laws as well that are small and seemingly insignificant. And the Bible says if you break one of the laws, it's just like you've broken all of the law. Let me give you an example. When you go to the land of Israel, as a matter of fact, this church, we're taking a trip. Anybody that wants to go, November 5th, we're leaving to go to the land of Israel. So if you want to go, you ought to get some info out at the info booth. There'll be a deposit that needs to be up in the next month sometime, and it'll change your perspective. But here's one of the things I noticed very early when I went to dinner in the land of Israel. How many know after you eat a nice meal and you've had your supper, at the end of supper at my house or dinner at my house, how many know once dinner's over, dinner hasn't really ended until you drink the coffee? Somebody say amen to that. You gotta have the coffee. And whenever you're at Israel, the first time I had my meal, you eat your meal and then it's time to have the coffee. You start looking around, when are they gonna bring the coffee out? And they don't bring the coffee out in the room you had the meal. So wow, why would they not bring the coffee out with the meal? Let me ask you a question. How many of you take a little milk in your coffee whenever you drink your coffee? Let me see your hand. I drink mine black because I'm a full-grown man. You know, I do it that way. But I know some of you drink milk in your coffee. And here's the reason. They can't have milk with their meal. There's a law in the book of Moses that says you cannot boil a kid, which is a child goat, in its mother's milk. So to eat the meat of the child of an animal and to eat its milk at the same time is a cursed, unclean thing. It would defile you and cut you off from the blessing of God. Seems small, seems insignificant. Rabbis could tell you what the health benefit is in that. I don't know what's over my head. But if you do that and you're living by the law, according to the book of Moses, the curse is on your life. The book of Moses says things like this: we're to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Don't work on the Sabbath is what it says. I walked to an elevator in Israel on the Sabbath. Day before, my elevator works perfectly, taking me up to my hotel room. But on the Sabbath, you'll go to the elevator, the door opens, it closes. Goes up to the next floor, it opens, it closes. Goes up to the next floor, it opens, it closes. Why does the elevator work like that on the Sabbath? Because to the Jew, to push a button on the elevator on the Sabbath is to work on the Sabbath. And you are now breaking the law. How many of you think that sounds like a tough way to live, to have to fulfill all of those laws? Somebody say amen to that. You know, a Jew also couldn't travel on the Sabbath. To travel on the Sabbath is to work and to make oneself unclean. Now, some rabbis would permit their Jewish followers to travel on the Sabbath if by water. They could travel by water because if they're traveling on the Sabbath by water, the wind might be pushing them. They're not working hard. It's not a tough deal. So there's some guys in New York that began to take water bottles. They could travel by water on the Sabbath, and they would put them under the seat of their car. And now they're saying they're traveling on water on the Sabbath. People do crazy stuff to try to fulfill the law. But here's what the Bible teaches. How many know it is impossible to fulfill every jot and every tittle of the law? There is no man, no woman, no child who is good enough to do everything that's been written in the Old Testament. The Bible teaches that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, shows us our sin, shows us our fallenness, shows us where we're broken. And when we see that we're broken, we'll see that we'll need a Savior. We reach out to Jesus then, and Jesus redeems us, forgives us. What we could never do by the law, He did at Calvary's cross when He shed His blood for you and me once and for all. The sin of humanity was broken at the tree, and now the curse is broken off of your life, and the blessing is coming upon you. I'm going to tell you, you are no longer cursed. 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 You're blessed with believing Abraham. So you got to see it, and you got to believe it. Come on, the Bible says that those who are under the works of the law are cursed. But the Bible goes on and says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does it mean to be redeemed? To be redeemed means to be bought back. It's like you were being sold at an auction. All of us were slaves to sin. We have all broken the law, and we deserve a curse on our life. And Christ shows up and sees us at that auction and sees us as though we're cursed. And he says, I'm going to bid and I'm going to trade my life for that man's life so I can break the curse of the law and I can redeem him. I can buy him back. I'm telling you, Christ has bought you back from sickness. Christ has bought you back from poverty. Christ has bought you back from mental oppression. Christ has bought you back from infidelity. Come on, somebody. Christ has bought you back from the curse of the law. Now you've been redeemed. I want you to say this out loud. Just say this. And I don't ask people to say stuff because I want to hear you say something. I ask you to say stuff because the Bible teaches life and death are in the power of the tongue. How many know what we say we begin to believe? Come on, somebody. I want you to say this out loud. Say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Let's say it again. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to show you exactly everything that's included in the curse of the law. See, the scripture teaches that you've been redeemed, bought back from the curse of the law. So now, if that's true, how many of you want to know exactly what was purchased for you as a believer at the cross? Man, I want to know what's included in the deal. Because here's the deal. Sometimes we allow things into our household without putting up a fight because we don't know that Christ has already paid to keep that stuff out of our house. And I think you got to know what's in the curse of the law so you know what you have a legal right to pray against and fight against and confess against and stand against. How many know just everything that happens in our life to our family? We shouldn't take it lying down. Come on, somebody. You don't have to suffer in silence anymore. I'm going to tell you, God's already bought some things for you at the cross. And now once you get the list, you know what you can let into the house or what you don't let in the house. Well, we now know what comes from God and what's the blessing and what's the curse. It's kind of like training kids. My kids are at the age where some of them know who to open the door for if they're knocking at the door. But how many know you got to teach them who not to open the door for? Come on, somebody. You don't want them to open the door for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Somebody say amen to that. If you don't train them right, they might let an in-law in your house or something like that. God help us. So we got to see what do we shut out of our life? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. This is the list of the curses. 1 through 14 is the list of the blessings. 15 and down is the list of the curses. All right, here we go. This is not going to be good news, but this is the curse of the law. This is what you are redeemed from. That's good news. It says this. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew, they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch. How many of y'all don't want the itch? Come on, somebody. I don't want the itch. With the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. How many of y'all think that sounds like all bad stuff? Somebody say amen to that. How many are thankful that you're redeemed from that list of curses? Give God a hand clap if you're thankful to be redeemed from that list of curses. You ought to go home today and you ought to read the entire curse of the law. In the curse of the law, you'll find poverty. You'll find the things that you're trying to do not working. You'll find anything that somebody goes after not prospering and not pushing forward. In the curse, you'll find sickness of every kind. You'll find things like the boil and the scab and the itch. And I don't want the scab or the itch. Somebody say amen to that. You'll find tumors. All of that's in the curse of the law. You'll find things like familial destruction. You'll find things like marital infidelity. The curse of the law says you'll take a wife and another man will lie with her. It says things like another nation will come into your land. You'll grow weaker and weaker, and they'll grow stronger and stronger. Almost sounds like the Chinese acquisition of American properties all over the world. All that kind of thing is a part, just a symbol. All these things are the curse of the law. But the scripture teaches this, that all of these verses of curses, that once you come into Christ and once you see that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's died for your sins, once you believe that, that curse is legally broken off of your life and you don't have to live in it one more moment of your life, you can be free from the curse. And then he doesn't just lift the curse off of you. The Bible says he breaks the curse off of your life that the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. So those who live under the works of the law, who are the people that live under the works of the law? They're the people who believe if I do enough good stuff to outweigh the bad stuff I've done, then I'll be right with God. The people that say if I pray enough, if I say enough Hail Marys, if I give enough to the church, if I have perfect Sunday school attendance, if I get join River City, if I do those things, they think that'll fix them. How many know there's no amount of good deeds we could do that would get us even with God? Only Christ in his blood was able to break the curse of the law off of our life. Come on, let's give God one more hand clap today for him breaking the curse off of our life. So here's the way it works. Here's the way it works. Practically, legally, absolutely legally, the curse has been broken at the cross. Everybody say, I'm redeemed. Let's say it again, I'm redeemed. One more time, I'm redeemed. So practically the curse has been broken. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But then little by little, bit by bit, I watch people come into church. They'll get saved, they'll get right with God. When they get right with God, they're legally, the curse is broken. But how many know it takes a little time for that stuff to come off of their life? Little by little, bit by bit. Instead of living a cursed thinking, they start living a blessed thinking. And then little by little, bit by bit, the problems in their life start coming off of their life. Not that they'll be completely problem-free, but you can see the blessing. You watch the curse start to lift as they hang out in the atmosphere of the church. And then the blessing starts to come on their life. The old problems they used to have don't own them like they used to anymore. And then I've watched people will get away from the things of God. They'll get going in the right direction and the curse lifts, the blessing comes on. And they'll get away from the things of God. And just like the blessing came on and the curse lifted, I'll watch the curse starts to come back on their life. How many knew some people that used to be in the things of God at church? They were blessed, heading in a blessed direction. Then they separate themselves from the things of God. Then you watch the curse begins to fall back on their life.